It's Tuesday, October 2nd, and this is a new episode of Innovo Radio. Today, we're going to talk about popping the bubble.
Welcome to Innovo Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
Welcome back to Innovo Radio. It's the 1st of October, and I'm glad to be with you again. Job changes and transitions have kept me from doing some things. Podcasting is one of them, but things have started to slow down, and I'm able to get back in the swing of things. So today, I want to talk to you about something that I was actually reading from the Bible. I don't hide the fact that I'm a follower of Christ, and that that's important to me. And so I was reading from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, and the writer, Paul, was talking to the Christians there, and he said, don't be like the Gentiles who have hardened their heart and closed their mind toward God and only live after lustful pleasure. And so I was kind of journaling yesterday with that, thinking about it, and some really interesting things kind of popped into my head, just about life in general, but also about leadership and change. And so as I was thinking about it, I thought this would make a great leadership podcast, in addition to maybe some other things that I want to do with it. So today I want to talk to you about this idea. Leaders can sometimes get in a bubble. People get in that bubble. And so we close our minds and our hearts off. I was happy to see that the writer chose the word heart. Not only the mind, but the heart, which is, from a biblical standpoint, it's the totality of the person. You have basically shut yourself off from being involved or being in relationship with the other. And that's what Paul, the writer, was warning about. So let's talk about that, not from necessarily a religious framework, but from a leadership and a personal growth and personal change framework. So a lot of us do. We close our minds off to and our hearts off to the other, whether it's new concepts, whether it's new relationships, new ideas, whether it's reading. Sometimes we only want to listen to Fox News. We don't want to care about CNN. We want to. Or vice versa, we only want to listen to CNN. We only don't even want to turn on Fox News. We slant our reading and our agreement with those sources and those resources that perpetuate our own framework and our own worldview. We don't want to bring other views, other people in. To give us a different perspective and to broaden our understanding of ideas or concepts or even of worldview or experience. And, you know, that's a danger. It's a danger organizationally. It's a danger personally to do that. And so let me just talk about three different reasons that is a danger when we live in the bubble. So when we close our minds and our hearts, we cut off experiencing a fullness of life. So if you only if you if and this doesn't have to be specifically with politics. This could be with the kind of food you eat, the kind of movies you watch, the kind of television you watch, the kind of books you read. For the longest, I really enjoy fiction, but I don't read a lot of it, and I don't read a lot of it because once I start a book, I'm going to need to finish a fiction book. I'll stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning reading, and that's really not good for my work schedule. So, and it's not necessarily that I don't like it. It's just that I have restricted the reading of fiction. And it has, every time I read fiction, I love it. I come up with, I have ideas, and I come up with, you know, I look at the story development, and it's, you know, I think about the story and concept, but I just don't do it a lot. And because of that, I limit the fullness of my life, the stories of my life, and the opportunity to use the stories, use those things that I read in other avenues, as life lessons, as illustrations, those kinds of things. And so when we close our minds and our hearts to others, to the other, then we limit our life. You know, as parents, you say, at least try this food. At least try it. And you want your kids to try something good, try something new, and try something different. I do that with my parents sometimes. They go to certain kinds of restaurants, and I try to expand their horizons. The leaders try to do that. They try to expand the horizons of others. But if you're not doing that yourself, or if you're closing off your mind and your experience to those other experiences, you'll never have a place to lead folks, and you'll never have a place to help develop them because you have limited yourself. So when we close our minds and our hearts, we cut off the experience. We cut off the different ideas. We in essence stop learning. We get stuck in this self-perpetuating cycle of what we know, and everything reinforces that what we know. We don't live in a world where we are challenged by new ideas and concepts and are forced to rethink our framework, rethink our state of mind, rethink our belief system because of these new ideas that have moved into our life. So when we stop learning, and we have made a decision to stop learning, we have made a decision to stop growing when we cut off different ideas and close our minds to the world around us. We ought to be, as leaders, we ought to be learning leaders, and we ought to be reading things in science and in business and in art and in religion and in politics and in medicine and in every discipline. We ought to be multidisciplinary in our learning because it broadens our perspective. It allows us to see things from other people's perspective and help meet them where they are and help lead them from a place, beginning at a place where they are. And if you choose not to do that, then you begin to lose your ability to lead because you're only leading from your own perspective. You're only growing and developing from your own perspective. You're not learning. You're not growing. And you're either growing or you're dying. You're either growing or you're dying. The third thing it does is it cuts off the relationships that can potentially expand our mind and our worldview and our framework. And those relationships, you know, you can be in relationship with others and not agree with everything. Now, it's hard to do in this day and age. Unfortunately, we are so divided, and it is crazy that we are so divided. But you can be in a relationship with someone that you disagree with about one idea, and you just don't talk about it. Or if you do talk about it, you have a civil conversation about it. But we you know, that one of the things about being in a relationship with someone we disagree with is it forces us to learn how to have a civil discourse, to have civil disagreement, to not slander, to not make it personal, but just to have a conversation about it. And we are so lacking in that. And so it's a social thing. We learn and we grow socially when we open our minds and our hearts to new people and new concepts. We have to not cut those relationships off, because those relationships continue to develop us and grow us and help us to help us to lead others, to help us to relate to others, to help us to grow personally. And why don't we do this? Why don't we cut ourselves off? Well, the scriptural text talks about, the biblical text says that it really, because they want to fulfill their own lustful pleasures. And from a religious framework, that is part of it. But when we as leaders, we as people close our minds and our hearts off to other people, other ideas, other concepts, there's a similar, we do it for similar reasons. And the first is, we don't want to be challenged, right? If you don't have to think, if you don't introduce new people and new concepts and new relationships into your life that may challenge you, then you don't have to think. You're not challenged. And we don't. Oftentimes, we don't want to be challenged. We just want to walk away. It is easier for us to walk away than to think these days. But that's not the reality of how we live and exist in a social construct, in community, in a world that requires social interaction of some sort. And so we just put ourselves in a bubble so that we don't have to be challenged, so our views don't have to be challenged, so our ideas don't have to be challenged. And then we begin to attack from a personal standpoint. Instead of being proactive and being thoughtful and being civil, we will be personal. Second reason is basically it just boils down to being selfish. We think we know what we're doing. We think we know it all. We think our framework is right. We think we don't need others. We think we are it all. And we just want to be, and we're just selfish. You can't do that when you're a leader. When you're a leader, you have to consider the other. You have to consider the framework of the other. You have to understand the other. You can't lead. You cannot help people find their place in your organization or grow and develop themselves if you're not willing to get your hands dirty with who they are and how they function and what they think. If you're not willing to exhibit management by walking around and talking to your employees, you're not able to lead. There is a reason that Undercover Boss is so wildly popular. Because people in those organizations, they want that interaction with the boss. They want to know the boss cares. And the way they know the boss cares is when the boss walks around, when they talk and when they share a meal and when they talk about each other's lives. And there's that interaction that goes on. That's what makes someone, that vulnerability and that availability makes a leader effective. But when we choose not to do those things, when we choose to live in a bubble and only think and talk and interact with people who are like us or who agree with us, who may be our yes men or women, we cut that off because we're just selfish. So the bubble's got to be popped. The bubble's got to go away. So how do we do that? Well, first, I would just challenge you to go to a bookstore or get on Amazon and just get something that you would never read. Go to a couple of websites and view articles that contradict your politics. And then think about them. Journal it. Write it down. Do research on it. Is this right? Look at their sources. Then find people that you may not necessarily agree with. Go to places and just sit and talk with people about what's going on in the day, about a particular topic. Build that relationship and learn. That's the only way. Go see a movie. Just walk up to the theater one day and say, I want to see the next theater. I want to see the next movie that's playing. Doesn't matter what it is. That'll open your mind to new ideas and new cinematography, new framework. Go to a bookstore or magazine store and just pick up a random magazine and read every page of it. See what happens. You may get bored. Listen, I've done that before. My doctoral mentor, Lynn Sweet, calls this his randomizing effect, because if he doesn't, he's going to get stuck. He's going to get stuck in what he reads and in who he hangs out with and what he views and the worldview in which he lives. And so he randomly does this. He'll go see, just walk up to the theater and go see, I want to see the next movie that's playing. Doesn't matter what it is. He'll be in an airport. He'll pick up a magazine that he would never read. A women's health or Southern Living or something on finance. Just pick it up and read it. Consider the ideas that are in it. Make notes. Journal it. Interact with somebody that you don't necessarily agree with. Go to a protest and just have a conversation. Get to know the person. It is hard to demonize someone you know and like. But that's what we do. So pop the bubble, start learning, and start growing. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Innovo Radio. Check out my website, wdavidphillips.com. It's got information about me and some services that I offer and some things that I can do for you, and I'd love to be able to serve you any way I can. Also, it's got links there to my Facebook page, my Twitter account, all those things. You can find an archive of podcast episodes, my blog, some things that I write on, and all that stuff. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening in today. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.